Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference, and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Supported by the Ford Family Foundation and brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. Thank you so much for joining us on what is another beautiful day here in Douglas County.
Yep, a summer day, actually.
It is.
Happy beginning of summer.
It is. And Tiffany, great to see you again today.
You as well.
We've got some great guests today. And we are celebrating a tradition today of graffiti. And this has been over four decades, this incredible tradition. It has been one of the county's most beloved traditions. And it's bringing together generations of families and car enthusiasts and neighbors to celebrate classic cars, share history, and the spirit of Roseburg. We were talking earlier before the show, it used to be a cruise down harbor, how that's evolved over the years. And it's really important to realize, too, it's a family-friendly event and made possible by a lot of local partnerships. So we're excited to talk more about graffiti, about its history, about its people, the people who are continuing to run this great tradition, and some of the young people that are probably going to be carrying this on in the future. So I want to welcome our guest today. Thank you so much for being here. And Carter, why don't we start with you? And if you can just introduce yourself so our guests know who we are.
Carter Clark, I'm the president of the Umpqua Flathead Car Club. Here in Roseburg, I have been the president for 3 years, going on four. We've lived in Roseburg for about 11 years, been a member of the club for about 10.
Wonderful. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
My name is Amy Holmgren. I am the director of the Stirring Angels Car Club. I have been part of the club my entire life. My dad was one of the original members back in 1958, so it's tradition. This is my grandson, who is carrying on the tradition as well.
Great. Hi, Corbin.
I'm Corbin Currington. I go to Fremont Middle School, going to seventh grade, and some things I like to do are race.
I love it. Very good.
I'm Jacob Zink. I've been a lifelong member of the Umpqua Flatheads. My grandparents and my dad were charter members, and I just enjoy being able to work in graffiti and help people out and, you know, just see all the old cool cars.
Yeah.
Spring. And you're also a UCC automotive.
UCC automotive student, yes.
Super cool.
I'm Chrissy. I'm the president of Rat Rod Roundup. This is our 10th year of being an organization and my seventh year of being a volunteer.
Love it.
Okay,
it's great.
Bob Scott. President of Timberland Corvette Club, which got me into. I'm also now the president of the Graffiti Weekend Committee.
Very
cool. And that was like my fifth year, I think.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here.
I think it's safe to say we have some Douglas County's VIPs here.
We do. We do. And I wanted to start off with a question. I don't know if this is for Bob or Amy or whomever. Take us back. I mean, let's talk about this graffiti tradition. And a little bit about how it began, and you know how that first cruise years ago. This is year 43, right? How that morphed now into 20 some odd events, and really something we look forward to in the county.
That one's you. But for the starting, it was talking to my grandma because I told her I was going to be on here, and she's like, "Oh, here's some information you need."
Oh, good.
So Richard Dickman in 1980-81. Was like, we want to do a cruise on Harvard. And so we got with the Corvette Club, the Flatheads, the Stray Angels, and was like, let's do this. And the car clubs were like, absolutely. They cruised Harvard. I think it was the Stray Angels were at Pete's Drive-In. And
I think so.
And the Flatheads were at A&W. And then I don't remember where the Corvette Club was at.
I don't know.
Yeah. But all three of the clubs were involved. And they all had different places selling t-shirts. I think the Strangers were actually sold the first t-shirts for the cruise.
Okay.
And they had a little vinyl and they were pressing on shirts and stuff. But it was because he's from Modesto, California, I believe, where American Graffiti was about.
Yeah.
And so he had that idea from there.
Okay.
And he brought it up here. He's like, let's do it here. and it's stuck around ever since.
Yeah.
Wow.
And grandma's name
is Mary Zink.
Okay.
Mary and Jack.
Jack and Mary Zink.
Okay. Or Jacob's grandparents would be founding members along with Jacob's dad.
Yeah, that's great.
And our historian.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. I didn't realize that it was that it originated so close to the West, like on the West Coast like that either. Because now it's like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. Yep. Cool story. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the annual graffiti events that people look forward to each year?
Probably the show in China and the cruise.
The Rat Rod Roundup now.
Yeah.
Like you guys pull so many people.
Yeah, we're getting big, but I know when people think of graffiti, it's generally the cruise and the Stray Angels show.
Yeah.
But now people are starting to they're starting to go to more of these events.
I say it's the best week in Roseburg.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts on Wednesday with the kickoff show back at the VA, ends on Sunday night now, this mm-hmm. year, Sunday night. It's such a long, I mean, it's not just one event.
Right.
People do come for the whole week.
Yep. And you guys have this really informative flyer that has all of the details. So definitely want to grab one of these. Where can people find these?
Those have already been distributed and are gone because everybody grabs them so fast. But we produce a book that has the same material, only carries the ads that we hustle up. And they're coming out Thursday, and we produce about 6,500 of the books. And the whole group will distribute them to the county and
hotels,
yeah,
businesses, automart stores, all over town. You can find the books.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Are they available digitally as well?
Not the book, but the flyer is on our webpage.
Perfect.
I think all of us have it posted on our web pages.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Several.
Yeah. So digitally, I mean, and that's growing too. I mean, that's something that's we're trying to catch up.
Yeah, it has every event and a summary and whether there's a fee or not, and the schedule. Everything is noted in this flyer
of
all of the events.
Well, I think it's really important, Carter. You mentioned this. I mean, I think for anybody here, there are a lot of events. Mm-hmm. Graffiti is not one thing. It's a collection of a whole bunch of things, right?
I think there's 22 events this year.
20. I just counted.
20.
20.
Wow.
And it's 5 days, and the 5 days are pretty packed. It's 5 days.
There's just something for everyone, for every taste. Different people, you know, are looking for like different types of vehicles, Corvettes or whatever. There's even like an ice cream social. So people are not that interested in cars, but hey, I want to go out and, you know, live the olden days and eat ice cream. There's literally something for everybody.
And the ice cream social, I know they normally have the
wildlife safari,
so kids can come interact with small animals there at the Credit Union on mm-hmm. Harvard. Cassie
did bought the big cats one year, but people with dogs and cars didn't work.
That's fair.
And I stand corrected. There's 21 events this year.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's a lot.
Let's talk about one of those ones. I was looking through the brochure, and there is one of my fan favorites here, the Burnout competition.
There's two of them.
Two of them this year. Okay, two of them. Okay. So walk me through this. If our listeners have never experienced a Burnout competition, what should they expect?
Well, on Thursday is Backside Brewery does a contest. And they strap their cars down in the parking lot and let the guys burn the tires down. And then the Rat Rods on Friday have a bigger burnout where the cars are loose and they're zipping her all over the place.
We just let them put on a show. We have a 100x100, I believe, pit that we block off with cement barriers and fencing for safety. And we get some great, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's becoming a graffiti highlight.
How do people get signed up for that?
It's the day of the show for ours. They show up between 1 and 7, I believe, is when our registration is, just day of the show. And of course, we have some rules and regulations for safety. That's available on our website that people can go and look at beforehand, make sure their vehicle's, you know, okay to enter. And And we have a registration fee. They pay that and they put on a great show and they can walk away with $1,200 worth of prizes is what we have this year.
Wow. Awesome.
Back to the flyer. There is no pre-registration on any of the events. So you got to show up and register at the time of.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's great to know.
Yeah.
And this is, I don't know if everybody understands this, but this is really, this tradition is very family friendly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people haven't been before, you may not think of it as a family-friendly event when you think about a burnout or whatever it might be, but very much centered on getting families out of the house, interacting with the community, seeing things that they maybe never seen before, getting excited about classic cars. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's very educational too, yeah, right? Because there are young people, they learn so much from the, you know, these older vehicles too, just checking them out. And you know, you got the owners standing near them that are always happy to talk about them.
That's
and
not the truth.
That's great.
Well, what is your favorite part of the whole week? What are your favorite events?
Burnout contest.
And you, I think that's it. That age group, I think that's the big one.
And just cruising on Harvard.
Yeah. The cruise on Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah. See so many different types of vehicles.
Yeah. It's always a highlight to see what's out there. And there's so many beautiful cars in the county. Yeah.
The cruise on Harvard, it's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights later. That's not really a graffiti event. However, it is because that's everybody goes from the events and heads for Harvard to do the unofficial cruise.
It kind of honors the roots, I think, of where it began. Yeah,
through Pete's Drive-In.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some entertainment that goes with these events as well, right? What kind of entertainment do you typically see?
Well, I know the first, so Wednesday night, there's
Electric Rose.
Electric Rose and the Shine District, which are out on Diamond Lake. I know she's having there's a live band there. Hectic Week, I believe, is the name of the band playing there. I know Saturday night we will have a band downtown at the cruise. So food trucks everywhere. All the events have food trucks. But I know of at least two live bands that are at sanctioned events. I know last year there were some entertainment other places that weren't.
Oh, we haven't done a live band for a couple of years just for the sake of time because we crammed so much into such a short amount of time. But we have the pinup competition, which is kind of a fun addition to graffiti, is dressing up in the rockabilly the 50s pinup style. And we've got a few of those this year, don't we? I believe we have
the Axe House.
Has a pinup this year. We have a pinup on Friday, and I believe they are trying to set one up for Sunday at the new show in Winston.
Okay, that's great.
That's so fun.
Which is a fun addition for the women and even the little kids. I mean, we get some little kids that get in there and, you know, have their props. And we get a couple boys every year that come with their greaser look. And
I think 10 Down on Thursday night normally has a band too, as far as that fast entertainment goes. I mean, I think the entertainment is seeing the old cars and, like you said, walking around talking to the car guys, the car people.
Yeah.
I think that's the draw.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, Tiffany, is there's a theme that's come up on a lot of the shows, and it's around this need for more of these multi-generational activities, right? Where you see, like, you know, young kids and older folks and middle age all kind of galvanizing around a thing, right? So whether that be music or entertainment or cars. But so the question here is, I mean, this really is one of those, right? You see all spans of people there. What is it about classic cars? I'm going to keep this one to Corbin here, and anybody can jump in. What is it about cars and classic cars, or just cars in general, that sometimes, you know, in a world that can feel divided sometimes, all those barriers seem to go away when there's things like music. You see this at a concert. Graffiti, I think we see the same things. People that may not interact very often are doing something together. What do you think it is, Corbin, about classic cars that bring people together?
Well, you can, like, work on them with, say, like, your dad, make memories.
Love that.
Talk to them about the car with people.
Yeah,
that was awesome. What age did you really start to become interested in cars?
since I could hold a wrench.
As soon as he was old enough to be walking out to the shop, he was out there helping my dad work on cars. I had to say, Dad, he's 3. I don't want him under the car. Yeah. You know, there's time for that when he grows up, but.
Seriously, you can read the wrench number.
Yeah. Exactly. You know? Yeah, there was something special about that. There was something that's unique about that. And I think about, like, you know, I think about my dad passed away in October, but like some of my fondest memories were like working on cars with him, you know, fixing stuff I broke or just figuring out like how to change oil and, you know, what an exhaust manifold is. And he had a couple race cars we tinkered with. And those were some of the fondest memories of all the things of my dad. That the cars for us was a way. It was like the venue to bond together. And it's actually, as I think about my kids, it's actually one of the things like I want to make sure we pass on to our kids is to sometimes have that reason to get together, and a car can really be that for our family.
And there's a great variety of vehicles, and we expanded on that this year. Besides the graffiti hot rods, this year we have a group of young people that are going to do a Sunday show, and it's the Hondas, the BMWs, and those kind of vehicles, and up are going to be out at River Forks on Sunday evening.
Yeah, that's super cool. So that is specifically for young people.
Yeah, we're trying to bring more young people in. So
yeah,
and this, that was one opportunity. And then when you called me last week, tag, you're it.
No, it's perfect. And that's, you know, it's really important that our youth is continuing to learn how to work on cars, because that is really going away with technology. So I just love that you guys are carrying that on and making those opportunities available to our youth. So we are actually going to take a short break, but we will be back here in just a few. So stick with us.
The 44th annual Roseburg Graffiti Weekend welcomes classic car and hot rod enthusiasts, collectors, gearheads, and hobbyists for the Northwest Premier Car Show. Graffiti Weekend is a family event. Festivities are July 8th through 12th with car shows, tours, cruise-ins, burnout competitions, games and contests, live music, dancing, and souvenirs. July 8th through 12th, Roseburg Graffiti Weekend. For full schedule of events, please visit Graffiti Weekend.
The conversation continues shortly. This is Your Cue on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Your Cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Cue. Thanks for joining us today. Gosh, great discussion today about graffiti. Something we all love.
Yeah.
And thank you to our guests for being here. Let's talk a little bit more about this event.
Yeah. So this is an event that brings thousands of people to Douglas County. I mean, what kind of impact does that have on our community?
We're trying to quantify that. We got Anvil is going to help us try to get a better count. But one of the only way we were quantifying before was just counting cars at the events. And it was 800 cars at the one show a couple of years back. And then COVID kind of knocked us down a little. So.
I mean, it's huge, though, because like the hotels
all over the Northwest, you can't get a room this week here.
Yeah. A lot of people from out of state come. And
they do. Yeah, it has a huge impact. I don't know how to quantify that either, but clearly the money's going back into
the community.
Which is really important.
Now that you said that, all the fees or most of the fees that we raised from all of the events go right back into the community. Each club has its own organizations they donate to. And so it's a lot of money we turn around.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, I know. It's so we put, besides what we draw into the county, the city, we're always, it goes right back out what we make.
Yeah.
Except for expenses.
Yeah. Which I know volunteer expenses are a lot of volunteerism that happens with us. So Absolutely. That's really important. I do think for a community we love, it's important that we get behind the things that are helping the community. And this event is helping the community financially. And it's a great venue as well for families and people to feel more connected.
Yeah. and for people outside of our community to come in and you know, really get a feel for how great our county is and how we all come together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
So one way you could support us is what we make our money on for our expenses is sell ads and sponsorships. Yeah. Or you could just donate. I got a donation sheet. You can give me your money. I'll take it.
And it is a good time probably to shout out our local businesses that really do come and support these. I know in the brochure, so many local businesses are really in support of this. It's a great community. We talk about community events. It's something that benefits the community. It's putting money back in the community. And it's cool to see the local businesses that are getting behind this. And that is like the epitome of the community you want to live in. It supports itself. So
I don't think any of us would be able to put on our events if it weren't for our amazing sponsors. Yeah. I speak for Rat Rod, but I'm sure everyone else is the same way, that if we didn't have these amazing businesses that were sponsoring us, we wouldn't have the money to put on such a great event.
Yeah. It's a big props to those businesses as well for helping
with this event. Partnerships.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Amy, I've got a question for you. I want to talk a little bit about your dad.
Okay.
And your dad, Don Larson, was instrumental, right, in building this tradition from the ground up.
That's what I'm told.
And so what do you think? What do you think he would think about this? And maybe just talk to us a little bit about your dad and how do you think his vision's been realized? It's being realized.
I think it is. I think, back when he was a teenager and he, started Strangels with his buddies, he never expected to be anywhere like this. But he lived for Graffiti Week. He did for years. It's just who he was is what he did. He passed away in November, and I took on all the projects that he had done for years for the show and for Graffiti Week, and I had no idea what he put into it. It was amazing, and I am tired a lot. It's a lot, but yeah, he would be very happy with how things are going, and the tradition of family being involved was huge to him too. That's why, I'm doing all the work I'm doing. He already knows that he'll be doing it. His mother is involved, and yeah, it's all about family and cars to him.
Yeah.
That's what he lived for.
Yeah, that's really neat. It's funny. There's, it seems like a lot of traditions sometimes just go away. And to have something 4 decades that's expected and looked forward to says something about the people who have been above, all of you as well, setting this up for the next generation. Look at Corbin, and, we've got to do well to make sure that generation is involved in this and carries that on, right?
Yeah, and what a legacy for him to leave.
And
this is such an amazing event that is just so sought after, and for people to come from everywhere, it's such a testimony how a whole community can rally around a passion, and it makes the community so much better.
It has grown so much. I remember the first show and shines out at the park, with the crews and the Strangels Car Show were the main things for a long time. The first couple show and shines, my mom and the other ladies of the club were baking cookies, and there were no food trucks or anything else. It was just for the love of being out there and showing off cars, and it's come so far.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And probably worth noting, the show and shine t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Are the winners of that year, is that right? So the t-shirts here are the winners of the show.
Cars on the show, on the shirt, I'm sorry, are the ones that were the people choice for the year before.
Yeah, that's neat. That's really cool.
That makes people pretty happy when they're the winners, because they come back the next year and, they get to get premier parking, so everybody sees their vehicles and their shirts.
Yeah.
Awesome, great idea.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So, Chrissy, Rat Rod Roundup provides youth scholarships. Can you tell us about those?
So, the monies raised from our event go towards what we call the Rat Rod Roundup Trade Career Scholarship Program. At the time when we started this, there wasn't really a whole lot of opportunities for kids that were wanting to become a welder or a mechanic or anything like that, and they didn't qualify for these traditional scholarships that are available. So we wanted to give these kids an opportunity to have some funds, and we write the check directly to them. That way, if they're not necessarily going to college, they're going to go to a trade school or something, they can use that money specifically for tools. You know, we have had a couple of our scholarship winners that were going straight into an apprenticeship program, and they just needed tools. That's where they needed the help. So it's my favorite part of this is just being able to, you know, raise that money. And we just gave away our scholarships a few weeks ago, and just seeing the big smiles on these kids' faces is just so worth it. And now there are a few more organizations now that are doing those trade career scholarships. So I think it's awesome that, you know, there's so many more opportunities for these kids. So,
yeah, so important. How would one of the youth apply for your scholarships?
So we put our application on our website, and I try to push it out a little bit on social media. The Rat Rod website, correct. Yeah. Thank you. So ratrodroundup.com. And we generally start December, January, somewhere around there, that we will have that updated application, and kids can go right on there. And people on our scholarship committee, we do reach out to every single high school in Douglas County and let these career counselors know that this opportunity is here for the seniors. And it's not just seniors. We have the same opportunity for kids that are getting their GED. So it's not just, I mean, because some kids are, you know, going to get that GED and go right into a trade. So that opportunity is there for them as well. Yeah. So.
I just heard about that program recently. I didn't know you guys had the scholarship. I think that is amazing.
We love it.
I wish everybody was doing that.
There's so many of those trades that are not going to be replaced by AI and technology. We are always going to need a mechanic. We are always going to need a plumber. I have a couple of kids that have gone into the trades because they know it's not, I mean, it's good money, but you're also, you have that job security of, you know, we're always going to need somebody to work on something. So
when I said the Rat Rod webpage, that made me think next year it's going to be on the graffiti webpage as well.
That's great.
I just decided.
There you go.
I was actually thinking I would like to share on our page.
Either way. Well,
oh, absolutely. The more word that gets out there so kids know that this opportunity is here. Because, I mean, there were a few high schools that, especially like Roseburg, a big high school, we didn't get a single application despite, you know, the fact that I did reach out and stuff. So it would be nice if there was, you know, more people spreading the word that, hey, this opportunity is here.
I know a guy who can do that, actually.
Huh?
I know someone who can do that.
Now that we're more aware that we know about that too, we'll definitely get the word out.
We would love that.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, it's getting harder to find young people or anybody that is, you know, skilled in those areas. I think that passing it forward is so important. Mm-hmm. So, Jacob, you're in the automotive program at UCC. When did you start working on cars?
Pretty much, probably same age when he was, you know, started. You know, old enough to carry a wrench for my dad or, you know, lay under the car and see what he's doing, or but my grandparents have been involved with graffiti the whole time since it started, and I've been out there working on helping him and learning stuff out there with my dad and my grandpa, and so it's just the family thing.
That's so cool. Yeah. So for kids who don't grow up in that atmosphere, what is like some advice that maybe there's a young person listening that is interested but doesn't have any connections? What would you advise?
To be honest, probably find a car club. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's people in our car club that'd be more than happy to, you know, show a kid around a car or show them how to change an oil, show them how to change a tire, whatever they want to learn. I'm sure there's people. I mean, I have access to a few cars that I could teach them to, you know, take an engine apart and stuff like that. But not that I have the free time right now. But no.
How does one apply for a membership or sign up for?
So the Umpqua Flatheads, I can speak. We the second Thursday of every month, except for December or July, because that's usually graffiti week, is the second Thursday. But we meet at Abby's on Stevens, 6 o'clock. You don't have to eat, but we start eating at 6. The meeting's at 6:45. So cool. I don't know where the Stray Angels or Rat Rod or
Corvettes is the third Monday at Abby's in the annex.
Oh yeah, in the annex also for the flats.
Ours is the third Thursday of the month, and
that's something else I should post. All of the clubs as meeting times. And
we're the second Sunday of the month out at the Winston Community Center, in the Senior Center area. I was going to mention, we have been trying, the Strangels have been trying to get more connected with high schools and younger kids. And we've been reaching out to the high schools. We've actually been able to get with Sutherland High School and Glide High School and have a little mini car show in their parking lots during lunch hour.
So cool.
And we're hoping next year we'll be able to do that more. We're planning, after talking to you, we're hoping to get into Roseburg to where we can bring the cars to the kids. They can come check them out, talk to them. You know, sometimes the kids will be in the car. They really love it when you let them get in there and rev the engine. Just get some kind of experience, you know, and make the connection. We're always happy to give them a card or, you know, tell them how to get a hold of us if they want to learn more.
For a couple of years, the Corvette Club, we were on homecoming night. We were get the princesses in the car and drive them around the track.
We want to be bringing that back. So this is all really important. I can say, as someone who works with young people, our kids love this, by the way. Sometimes, you know, the cars today are a little harder to work on, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a scan tool and trying to figure things out a little different. But there was something about these classic cars that our young people love. I mean, Corbin, I mean, it's not just Corbin, but other kids, when they get a chance to actually, they haven't oftentimes experienced them, right? So I do think getting that more proximate to the kids, thinking about homecoming, we need to be more invitational to our community of like, let's work together on that, because those are really important things. And I was also thinking, as you were talking about membership in these clubs, we do hear this theme around in the community about this epidemic of loneliness. Mm-hmm. Some people just feel like they're disconnected. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like they have a group, and it's actually something that, you know, I think is pretty prevalent in our community, where people don't feel like they have the kind of deep connections. I think these car clubs are a really interesting way to go meet people, even if you don't know a lot about cars. It gives you a reason to just bond with people. And there's something about classic cars that it kind of invites that anyway, because you're looking back at, you know, different generations, and you think about wartime and you think about peacetime, and it's pretty special that way.
Yeah. And just like all the events around our, you know, connection, really, it's really groups, people gathering together and connecting and in that passion. I think that's really important.
Yeah. It's interesting. We had a visitor at our meeting this last Thursday. 35-year-old brand new business owner, who said he had never been in a club before. We had invited him to join our club, and he said he had never been in a club before. And I look at myself, and I've been in so many clubs, service organizations, Rotary, Lions, all car clubs. I mean, it, to me, that's so foreign to not have been involved in a group outside of my own family. But you're right. It's just so prevalent now. I mean, life is so busy.
Yeah.
I think that that's maybe why we don't get people volunteering or becoming parts. And you're right. The loneliness is an epidemic that if whatever we can do to stem that tide by being welcoming to people when they do come.
Yeah.
I think it's so important for community. So much bigger than graffiti, too.
Yeah. I think it's really an important thing. On a lot of the shows, we've talked about that. There are a lot of ways to plug in. People just don't always know where to find them.
Right.
But we do have people that are welcoming, and this is a really good example of that.
I don't know about the other clubs, but I know Stray Angels, we actually, you know, put in our information pamphlets. You don't have to have a car to be in the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I assume the same way is because some people feel like, well, you know, I'm interested, but I don't have a car. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. Right. Just come enjoy being around people with cars, you know, and enjoy the whole experience.
Yeah, I might get rides.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. But I find in these groups, what we find is people that are plugged into other organizations, Carter, like you said, and it gives you a chance to kind of see a broader view.
Really good.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, when I think of classic cars, I think of like these eras, right? It's like you do, you know, my uncle had a 44 Ford. It's called the Crate. Had a Porsche engine in it, actually. But like, I was curious as a young kid about this car, about like when it was manufactured, and saying, you know, why wasn't there a 1941 car? And it's because we were prepping for World War II, for example. It's interesting history as a young kid. As you think about these eras, what do you think is most important for us to remember today in our era? As we think about these classic cars, and we see these rolling down, come July 8th through the 12th, we'll see a lot of these cars, and they remind us a little bit about, you know, about these eras, right? The 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and the 20s, some of the cars we have here. What do you think we need to remember today as we look at these older cars, these classics? What about those eras is going to be most important for us as we think about 2026 and beyond?
It's kind of like going back in time.
Yeah. It kind of, in a sense, kind of when I was talking about cruising Harvard, that was the thing to do back then, because you weren't able to pick up the phone and text somebody and say, hey, you want to hang out? It was, you bought your car, you cruised Harvard, and you parked at the end of Harvard, and you made friends. You found out where to go hang out for the night. And to me, that's kind of what brings me back when I see these older cars, of the years before technology, and that that disconnect. Yeah.
It's interesting. One of the things we'll do over time, the clubs will go to retirement homes and just pull in and have a impromptu car show. And when folks come out that are living in assisted living places or retirement homes, it just brings them back to those times when they were that age. You can just see it on their faces.
Yeah.
We talk about kids and how important that is to bring them along.
Yeah.
But to see people that are now in the end stage of life, maybe for whatever situation, the memories that just floods back, they're remembering those eras, and it's just, that's really special.
I love that. That's really neat.
Especially in the dementia care facilities, those guys light up.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what a special thing to do for that.
And that's part of graffiti too.
It's on Thursday.
We have retirement home cruise.
We have four different tours, four different groups that go to the different retirement homes around the area, and they stop and visit with, you know, the residents and let them sit in their cars, and they all get to vote on their favorite car. And a lot of times it's nostalgia. It's like, I had that car.
It's when I'm in first date in that car, you know.
Yeah.
And each group is roughly 80 plus cars. So,
wow. My dad works at Linus Oaks, and he tells me when you guys come and do those retirement home tours like that, the residents talk about it for days. I mean, they just get so excited to see those older cars come through.
That's so cool that you guys do that. And I, back to what you said with the, you know, bringing back the times, the older times, I think, you know, it's a little bit more than kind of going back into how things looked and felt with the cars, but like actually the deeper roots of what that culture was like.
Yeah.
And how different it is now. And I mean, it was much different. You know, back then it was like you could get away with a one income household, you know, and things, you know, the values felt different. And with technology there, you know, there without the technology, there was a lot more connection. It's just, the world looked different. And I think that is that spirit is in the air during these events. And it's just so cool to feel that.
Yeah, I think for me, it does bring back to, you know, there were simpler times, and the cars are actually simpler to work on. And I think there is something about, I think, I don't know if it was Newton or if it were who it was who said something to the effect of the greatest innovation is simplicity. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something about a simpler life. This is before party lines on phones. It was like, you got to know, it's harder to get to know people sometimes as adults these days, but there is something about this event that does just bring people together and just kind of like in awe of a simpler time. I think there's a longing for us to have it be sometimes easier in terms of like how to make relationships and how to be united as a community. And
How often do we just walk around and stand and talk to people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is one time of the year that we do that. Except you walk around a car show and you stand and you just talk to somebody about their car. How often other times during the year do we do that?
Yeah. And it's a perfect icebreaker.
Yeah.
Of being like, oh, dude, your car is gorgeous. Like, how long did it take you to do it? Well, it took me like 50 years. But it's still like,
yeah,
or whatever it is. I think it just makes the conversation easier because it's one, something they enjoy to do or did working on the car or still working on it. And then you get to learn something from that person also.
So much to learn.
There's something about humanity with that though. Everyone has a story, right? But like, you want to know what that story is sometimes, but the car is sometimes the icebreaker. Mm-hmm. And I love asking people about their cars because boy, do they want to tell you about them.
Yes.
And I want to learn about them, but there's a story there, right? Yeah. And isn't it true we all have stories? Yeah. We all have something to say. We all want to be acknowledged for something. We have something we want to share. We're more alike. It depends. It depends. If you have a Ford or a Chevy or that, it doesn't matter, right? I think there's something symbolic and beautiful about that in life.
Yeah, right. And also one of the values too is like the hard work, like the grit that goes into working on these cars. I mean, that I don't work on cars myself, but I can imagine how nice it must feel to get at the, you know, to put something together or repair a vehicle and be like, I did that like satisfaction that you get. But I can't imagine it's easy either. So how hard is it to like find the parts for these vehicles? Is it becoming difficult?
There's some companies for like Ford specifically there's one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast that has a lot of new old stock to Ford pickups and some classic 40s and 40, like to 45 Ford cars. Mm-hmm. But I can't speak for many of the other, because I do a lot of Ford stuff for my grandpa and my dad.
You know, if you're building a 55 Chevy or a, you know, 54 Chrysler, which is what we have, parts are difficult to find. There aren't many of them left. It's not a car that gets restored much. Like Jacob said, you know, if you're building an F-100 pickup, you probably find most new old parts.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you just got to pick the right car to rebuild.
Yes.
How long do these cars take to rebuild?
Depends on the condition.
Do I dare ask?
What quality do you want it to be?
Yeah.
Like, if you want it to be a one, like, that's going to take you years and a lot of money.
Yeah. And are you doing stock or modified?
Yeah. You're doing a hot rod, custom, resto mod.
Yeah, they can be like a generational work, right?
Yeah.
It can be
yeah.
something that's always worked on, right?
Yeah. Well, like right here, I mean, you got generational cars being handed down from beyond the family.
Yeah. Well, and I grew up with the cars that they're not, you know, $1 million cars, but they're show cars. And I've always loved that, but I was always raised with don't scratch the car, don't lean on the car, don't slam the door of the car. So last summer before my father passed, he found a car just exactly like the one that it was giving me that, you know, I inherited, except it's a bigger car. It's a sedan instead of a coupe. But it is what I say is my fun car. It's not my show car. It's got dings. It's got scratches. It is in no way perfect. But I love it. And I'm so excited because I get to have fun in it. I'm not worried about anything happening. I'm just going to have a good time. I'm not going to put a lot of money into it. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I love that.
And then I have the pretty one for other things.
Yeah, don't step on the running boards.
That's right. Yeah. Don't breeze towards that window.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting toward the end of the show. One of the things we like to do is turn it to our guests to ask you about your cue for our community. And if there's something you want to pass along, have people think about this week or in preparation for graffiti coming up on July 8th to the 12th, I'll turn it over to our guests to share your cue with our listeners.
Well, you get to go first.
Okay, well, I just, my cue to the community, the Umpqua Flatheads event is the Saturday night cruise downtown. So we close the streets and we inconvenience the community because you can't get there from here. And so we know that's an inconvenience. We apologize for the inconvenience. It's once a year. We do it for the safety of the cars to be able to cruise downtown. We just ask for patience, grace to the people that are out there working the barricades, especially on those streets that are closed, but Douglas, Diamond Lake, we just ask for that you be safe to keep the people that are standing there in the middle of the road working. And just, we're closed. We close the streets basically on Jackson first thing in the morning. They'll be open again after 9:30. Saturday night. So just a little bit of grace and kindness to each other just for that one day. So
great.
Ditto.
And four-wheel drives are allowed.
Oh, yeah. Four-wheel drives are allowed this year in the cruise. That's been something that hasn't historically been allowed. And this year we are allowing four-wheel drives in the cruise.
That's great.
So I look forward to seeing those Broncos in the cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for that.
I guess my cue would be just, we want everybody in the community to come out, bring your family and enjoy it. And there's so many diverse kinds of cars, you know, there's the rat rods and the really, you know, fancy ones and the
plastic cars,
the plastic cars. Well, I say the kids, cause I'm old enough to say the kids now, you know, they have the show out at River Forks. Everybody respect everybody else's cars. And, you know, people generally do that, but you know, there's some people that might not like a different category of cars, but everybody can, you know, get along and respect each other's cars and just have a good time.
That's great. Corbin, what about you?
I think kind of just what she said, we're all there to have fun. Mm-hmm. And it's important to stay safe and just have fun.
Great advice.
I think for me, just get involved. Like, you don't have to have an old car to join any of our car clubs. I don't know if you have to have a Corvette for the Corvette Club, but okay.
Well,
but just, we all just love cars. Like, and we're just there to enjoy each other's cars, to enjoy the company, you know, just to get together and hang out with people. And this is one time a year where we get around with 90% of Douglas County. And I think it's just an amazing opportunity. And yeah, like I said, you don't have to have a car. Just get out, get involved. If you don't need, you don't have to join a club. You can still come to the meetings. But yeah, we're all there.
Yeah, great advice.
Can't think anything off the top of my head.
No worries. I'll finish it off about the caution, because we had a few minor incidents last year that, well, some of us, I took personally because, you know, they were black eyes on us and the whole group, but drinking and fighting is not allowed or shouldn't be in this family event. And don't be a stupid hot rodder with your foot in the throttle all the way. There are places and times for that. And when you got a whole bunch of classic hot rods cars on Harvard or Jackson or wherever, rat rods, I mean, you got to be careful with all that.
Yeah.
Yep. It's only fun until it's not safe anymore. And then it becomes a lot less fun. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important point.
And save your burnouts for the burnouts. There's a couple of those. Right. But it's not a race. We're cruising.
Yeah. I'll give the police a plug, because they help us immensely. And they are going to be enforcing stricter this year.
Okay. That's right.
That's awesome that they're supporting you guys. Well,
they're fans too.
Yeah. 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 I just think it's like a whole, I love this whole entire community endeavor that we all, everybody get, you know, together on it and is a part of it. So yeah, it's been so amazing, this conversation, and we're going to continue it. But we are ending the radio portion of this episode. And so next week on Your Cue, we're celebrating the largest 4th of July event in Douglas County. Joining us will be board members of Winston Area Independence Day, Onika Driscoll, Breanne Rutledge, and Cindy Codwell Scott, along with the City of Winston Mayor, Christy Knutson, student FFA reporter Izzy, and a Douglas High School student, as we talk about everything happening at this year's celebration. From the parade and fireworks to live music, youth involvement, and the traditions that bring this community together, we'll explore what makes Winston Independence Day celebration one of the most anticipated events of the summer here in Douglas County. So that's really exciting. It's going to be a great one, very informative. It's right around the corner, so you're definitely going to want to tune in. And with that, we are heading into the after show of this episode, which you can check out at the Roseburg Schools YouTube channel. So we're going to dive deeper, hear some more stories, and talk more about this beloved Douglas County tradition. So stay with us, and we'll see you next week.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the Your Q Facebook page. This show is built with our community for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.